This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Abdul Wahab Salim is a Canadian Islamic scholar. MashaAllah. His father is professionally an engineer. Magar phir zindagi jis jagah pe leke aayi apne bachon ko unhone ala taleem hasil karwai aur ala taleem mein unhone Quran aur Sunnah ki taleem hasil ki. قرآن پاک میری زندگی کا مینول آف مائی لائف ہے, یعنی یہ نہیں کہ مجھے صرف عربی آتی ہو. آئی مسٹ انڈرسٹینڈ قرآن. وین آئی ریڈ قرآن آئی مسٹ انڈرسٹینڈ قرآن. اٹ ٹاکس ٹو می, یہ مجھے میری زندگی کا جینے کا طریقہ کار سکھاتا ہے. ہم کہتے ہیں کہ قرآن کی ایک آیت پڑھنے کا 30 گنا ثواب ہے, 10 گنا ثواب ہے, بٹ آپ امیجن کیجئے گا, دیٹ از اے مینول. آپ ایک مشین خرید کے لے کے آتے ہیں, ہم مشین کو تب تک آپریٹو نہیں کر سکتے جب تک ہم اس کا مینول نہیں پڑھتے. تو قرآن از مائی لائفس مینول. عبد الوہاب کینیڈین اسلامک اسکالر ہیں, اسپیکر بھی ہیں, اے ینگ مین, اینڈ آف کورس ہی از اے رائٹر, ہی از اے آتھر ایز ویل. آپ نے بے شمار دنیا جہان کے علماء کرام سے ملاقات کی, بات کی, ان سے سیکھا بھی, اور یقیناً ان تعلیمات کو آگے لے کر کے چل رہے ہیں. آپ نے عربک اور اسلامک کلچر میں ڈپلوما لیا, بیچلر آف ایجوکیشن فک میں کیا. ایک اور چیز ہے جس کو میں بعد میں پتہ کروں گی, یویل فک. What is Yugal Fiqh?
Usul al-Fiqh.
Usul al-Fiqh. Oh my God. Usul. U-S-U-A-L ہوتا ہے نا, یوئل جب ہم کہتے ہیں. اصول الفقہ یعنی فقہ کے اصول. آپ امیجن کیجئے کہ میری زندگی قرآن, سنت اور فقہ کے اوپر ہے. ہم انہیں چیزوں کے بارے میں تھوڑی سی بات ان سے ضرور کریں گے. آپ نے بیچلر کنگ سعود یونیورسٹی سے, یہ ریاض سے یہ اپنی تعلیم حاصل کی. اس کے علاوہ پوسٹ گریجویٹ ڈپلوما اسلامک بینکنگ اینڈ انشورنس فرام یونائٹڈ کنگڈم. ہیں اسلامک بینکنگ کا تو مجھے پتا تھا, مگر انشورنس میں بھی فرام دا یونائٹڈ کنگڈم میں. اس کے بعد آپ نے ماسٹر آف آرٹ تفسیر اور علوم القرآن میں آپ نے کیا ملائیشیا سے. اس کے علاوہ آپ یقیناً اسلام کی تعلیمات کو آگے بڑھانے میں بھی, آف کورس ہی از لائسنسڈ پرسن, اس کی بھی ان کے پاس سرٹیفیکیشن ہے. عبد الوہاب سلیم سالک اکیڈمی کے بھی فاؤنڈر ہیں. اس کے بعد اسلامک سائنس اینڈ یونیورسٹی کالج آف نیئرلی ڈیکیڈ, پچھلے 10 سال سے ان چیزوں کو لک آفٹر کر رہے ہیں. لیکچرز دیے ہیں انہوں نے, پڑھایا ہے مختلف کنٹریز میں اراؤنڈ دا ورلڈ. اور اس کے علاوہ آپ ٹیلی ویژن اسٹیشنس کے اوپر, یوٹیوب چینلس کے اوپر ان کے ہیں. آئی ویلکم عبد الوہاب سلیم. السلام علیکم, اینڈ ہاؤ آر یو ٹوڈے مائی ڈیئر سن؟
وعلیکم السلام و رحمۃ اللہ. آئی ایم ڈوئنگ ویری ویل, اینڈ اٹس اے پلیژر ٹو بی ہیئر ود یو.
Thank you very much. You know, when I called you son, Majid Jamal must have reservations because you always think Arifa cannot have a pious son. My son is very pious, and I have pious sons like Abdul Wahab because I am always ready to learn from people like him, and that is the reason they are invited here. It's a beautiful month, and it is month of Ramadan, and I, a brother of mine, month of Muharram, Muharram ul-Haram, the first month of our Islamic calendar. Before we started a program, a brother of mine called, and when I was saying that dunya ka wajood Muharram mein aaya tha, Hazrat Adam alaihi salam ka zikr kiya, Hazrat Musa alaihi salam, jahan se humne isliye Hazrat Musa alaihi salam ka zikr kiya tha, ki aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne jab hijrat ki thi aur aap Madina tashreef leke gaye the, that was 10 Muharram. اور لوگ روزہ رکھ رہے تھے, تو آپ نے 2 دن روزہ رکھنے کا کہا, تو ہم نے اس حوالے سے اس کا ذکر کیا تھا. قیامت کے بارے میں بھی کہا جاتا ہے کہ یہ ہوگا. اٹس اے ویری اسپیشل دن. آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم کے پیارے نواسے کی شہادت کا دن بھی یہی 10 محرم کا دن ہے. یقیناً اس لحاظ سے اس دن کو اور بھی اہمیت مل جاتی ہے. محرم الحرام کے بارے میں بھی ہم بات کریں گے بیٹا. قرآن پاک میں اس کا ذکر جب آیا, تو ان 4 مہینوں میں دس از ون آف دا منتھ جس میں اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ نے فرمایا کہ اس میں جدال, لڑائی جھگڑا بند.
So firstly, when we speak about the calendar, the Islamic calendar as a whole, we have to keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged us to keep a calendar that is distinct, and it happens to be a lunar calendar.
Okay? MashaAllah.
That's something that Allah spoke about quite distinctly in the Quran when he told us that they're asking you about the different positions of the moon. Mm-hmm. Tell them that those positions are meant to give you dates.
Mm.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged in that, that the dates should be done through a lunar calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was the calendar that was followed by you know, early Muslims and early people all around, because it's an easy calendar to follow when we consider just being able to see the different stations of the moon through the naked eye. And for that reason, it's very encouraged for every Muslim to have some sort of connection to this calendar, the Hijri calendar. Okay, and subhanAllah, this Hijri calendar, the more a Muslim is connected to his faith, the more he will somehow be connected to this Hijri calendar as well, because all of our actions that are related to our acts of worship, they're all related to this Hijri calendar, right? And that's and the start of this Hijri calendar is in the month that we happen to be in right now, which is the month of Muharram. And about Muharram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to Muharram in one place in the Quran, in Surah At-Tawbah, when he says, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, that the months of the months according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happen to be 12 months according to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was decreed the day Allah created the heavens and the earth. From them, four happen to be hurum. They happen to be sacred.
Mm.
So one of these sacred months is the month that we happen to be in, and that's the month of Muharram. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an address to us and tells us of these very, very uniquely sacred months. Now, what does it mean that they're sacred? This is an important question. What does it mean that these months happen to be sacred? What it means is that Allah will increase the reward of any good that a person does during these months.
Mm.
And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase also the punishment for any evil that a person does during these periods. So every time Allah makes something sacred, whether it be time or place, okay, what happens is the reward increases and also the punishment increases as
well. If you do wrong, get ready to get more punishment.
More punishment, because there's more sacredness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in this, right? So let me just ask you a question that I think that every Muslim will automatically have an answer to. If someone has a haram in mind, la qadar Allah, someone decides to do something like drinking, okay? So he has this haram, or she has this haram in mind. If they take this haram and they do it in Mecca, already just by hearing the word Mecca, we feel like the guilt should be a lot more, right?
Right.
Because Allah has made Mecca more sacred. There's more sacredness that Allah has attached to this earth, this land.
Yeah.
So because of that, and through that, we can realize what we're trying to say about time over here. Mm-hmm. Just as Allah has made places which are sacred, similarly, Allah has also made time which is sacred as well. Now, if a person is in a time which is sacred, but not in a place which is sacred, then the reward is going to be to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. But then the time is sacred and also the place is sacred. Someone is in Muharram.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, my apologies.
No problem. Someone is in Muharram, for instance, and they have the opportunity to be in Mecca at the same time, and they do their fasting or they do their ibadat in Mecca, in Muharram. Of course, now the reward will be just that much
more. Higher.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Similarly, the punishment also becomes more as well if someone is in the month of Muharram, or they're in the month of Ramadan, for instance, which is also a sacred period, and they do something which is haram inside of Mecca, for instance, again, the punishment will also increase as well. So this is what it means when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, minha arba'atun hurum. From them happen to be four which are hurum. Now, what are these four which are hurum that are sacred? Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram. These are back to back.
Yeah.
That's why they say in Arabic that thalathatun sard, three back to back. Wahidun fard, one of them is alone, which is Rajab. Okay.
Oh.
So three.
So Tawbah, is it mentioned in? It's a detail, though.
Oh, there's detail. It's not mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, but they say this in as a phrase to remember.
Three are linked to each one after another, and Rajab is.
And Rajab is by itself, exactly. This is not to be, by the way, mixed with another 3 months, which are the months of the Hajj. Okay. Often these two are confused, where. The three of Hajj, which happen to be Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So these are often confused with these. So they're not to be confused, although they overlap, as you can see, right? Dhul Qa'dah, there they overlap, but they're not the same. They're not one and the same. They're not to be confused with each other. And of course, even Shawwal, even Dhul Qa'dah, and even Dhul Hijjah, all of them have their own virtue as well. But they're not to be confused. Those are Ashhurul Hajj, the months of Hajj. These are the months which are sacred, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a special sacredness to. And by the way, this is something that is not specifically in our religion, because probably during the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, also they used to consider these sacred months. How do we know this? Well, firstly, because Allah tells us in the Quran that the months are 12. From them are four which are sacred. This was the day in which Allah created the heavens and the earth. Okay? So he said all of this happened on the day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. That's the first thing. Second thing is that the Arabs also, the pagan Arabs, they used to also consider these months very sacred. And that's why they wouldn't initiate war during these months in the early time. Mm-hmm. Okay, but then later on, that rule of not initiating war within these months, that became abrogated in Islam. But the sacredness of these months, it remained. So this is the sacredness of these months. Now, within these months, of course, is the first of them is Muharram. The first of them in terms of the calendar year is Muharram. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said to us in an authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, he said that أفضل الصيام بعد شهر رمضان شهر الله الذي تدعونه المحرم. The best of fasting after the month of Ramadan is the month of Allah which you refer to as Muharram. So not just Ashura, because a lot of us only know about Ashura. Rather, the entire month is an opportunity for us to fast. The best that one can do is
9th and 10th or 10th or 11th, but it's better to fast able, all month.
If you're able, then this is the best opportunity to fast outside of Ramadan, according to the hadith of Abu Huraira, and according to the statement of the Prophet ﷺ himself, where he said the best of fast after the fasting of Ramadan is the fast that of the month which you refer to as Shahrullah al-Muharram, the month of Allah which is sacred. Now there's another very important thing over here. Notice the Prophet ﷺ, he called this month not just Muharram,
month of Allah,
the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every time in the Quran or the Sunnah when something is connected or attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's meant to do so to increase its status. And that's why when Allah talks about in the story of Salih the Naqa, the she camel, he says Naqatullah, هذه Naqatullah, this is the she camel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, when we refer to the house of Allah, the bait of Allah, the Kaaba, we say house of Allah. It's not literally the house of Allah such that Allah resides there.
Referred to.
It's simply supposed to raise the status of this. Similarly, that she camel is, you know, to raise this the sacredness of that she camel and so forth.
She camel is the camel which is mentioned in Quran, jiski koonchein kaat di gayi
thi. Yes, of course. The
jiski koonchein kaat di gayi thi. Ye kaun se prophet Prophet Saleh ka waqia hai, unki oontni. To usko she camel yani Allah ki oontni kaha gaya. Acha, I learned something new today. One thing is, can I ask you a question? Okay, nalaik shagird hamesha beech mein sawal poochta hai. You said that Muharram, of course, iska zikr Quran Pak mein hai, four sacred months ka zikr hai, and the heaven and earth was created on this month. Usme Hazrat Ibrahim se bhi aapne link kiya. But this Hijri calendar was founded in year 622. It starts from the time when Prophet, peace be upon him, he traveled from Makkah Muazzama to Medina Pak. So, but these months, were the people aware even before that about these Islamic Hijri calendar? No.
Okay. So the months were the months of the Arabs. They were used to these months. But the difference that happened was that one of the practices that the Arabs had was they would sometimes play around with the order of the months. Okay. Mm. They would play around with the orders of the month. And what does that mean? What that means is that sometimes, because of the fact that Allah had forbidden initiating war, or let's put it this way, because of the fact that the Arabs at that time believed it was impermissible to initiate war during these 4 months, okay, what they would do is, if they wanted to initiate war, they would play around and swap the
change the days.
Okay, so there was a lot of that swapping happened, and during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he actually mentioned to us in a hadith that on this day, the time has come back to its original essence, meaning the way that Allah had ordered the months, that order has come back. And that's why that reordering occurred, and it remained that way till today. So that was a difference. Otherwise, they knew these months. The names of them were known to the Arabs. And in fact, some of them, in fact, all of them come from Arab culture, the names.
Okay, so these were even before that. But from year 622... جب آپ حضرت محمد نے ہجرت کی ہے اس کے بعد پھر اس کو پکا سٹیٹس ان کو مل گیا تھا تھینک یو ویری مچ
آف کورس دیئر از آلسو انادر تھنگ ٹو پوائنٹ آؤٹ اوور ہیئر دیئر از انادر ہجری کیلنڈر ایز ویل اینڈ دیٹ از دی ہجری رومی کیلنڈر اوکے بٹ دیٹ ہجری رومی کیلنڈر از ناٹ دی ہجری لونر کیلنڈر اٹس دی ہجری سولر کیلنڈر سو ان آور ٹائمز ا لاٹ آف مسلم کنٹریز اراؤنڈ دی ورلڈ ہیو اڈاپٹڈ دی گریگورین کیلنڈر سیئنگ دیٹ The problem with the Hijri calendar is you never know how long the month will be because the lunar cycle changes from year to year, month to month, and so forth, right? So because to solve that problem, the Ottoman Empire had introduced the Hijri solar calendar, which is today in year 1300 something right now. Okay, so that calendar is still around, and that remained as an official calendar within the Ottoman Empire, but it was a solar calendar. And I go back to the point that Allah actually encouraged us to use a lunar system. Mm-hmm. Okay? This is in the Quran itself.
صحیح بہت زبردست اب ہم آ جاتے ہیں محرم کی افادیت کا ذکر ہو گیا کہ کیا اس کی افادیت ہے آف کورس احترام کا مہینہ مگر ساتھ ساتھ میں بھی کہتی چلی جاؤں گی کہ جب ہم بات کرتے جا رہے ہیں نا تو اپنے دل کے اندر جھانکتے ضرور رہیے گا اللہ نے کہا کہ اس مہینے کے بیچ میں لڑائی جدال فساد منع ہم رکتے ہیں ہر لیول کا خاندانی سطح کا بھی فساد ہے ملکی سطح کا فساد بھی ہے دنیاوی سطح کا بھی فساد ہے تو کیا اللہ کی اس ٹیچنگ کے اوپر میں اور آپ عمل پیرا ہیں پہلی بات ناؤ ویلکم آف کورس دیر آر مینی تھنگس لنک ٹو دس منتھ آف محرم Of course, it's special because prophets ke nephews ki shahadat bhi isi mahine mein hui hai. Magar, as you said before, ki hum sirf Muharram ko link kar dete hain unki shahadat ke saath. Yes, ye ikhtitam tha har cheez ka. نبی کے نواسوں کی شہادت مگر دس منتھ از سیکرڈ اور شاید اللہ نے ہر زیرو کو کہ میرے پیغمبر حضرت محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم بھی چلے گئے تو ان کے نواسوں کا وصال بھی اس عظیم مہینے کے بیچ میں ہوا دیٹس آئی وڈ لنک اٹ ٹو
Yeah, I'm just gonna take it back to something that I just think is important to admit at this point and that is that that in terms of the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج there shouldn't be any obscenity there shouldn't be any malice and there shouldn't be any jidal or any argument also in Hajj as well that is actually referring to the other set of the months which is the al-hajj ashhurun ma'lumat hajj happens to be known and specific months which is what
Shawwal
Dhul-Qa'da and the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah again Shawwal Dhul-Qa'da and first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah so that verse is in relation to that although we can apply the general idea because these are sacred months so we shouldn't be obscene within these months we shouldn't have any malicious behavior within these months and we shouldn't also have any argumentation but the specific verse is in relation to al-hajj ashhur ma'lumat ashhur al-hajj or the months of hajj when you asked me about the fadila or the virtue of this month I forgot to mention a couple of important things one of them is that not only is this month virtuous to us as Muslims, this month is also virtuous to previous nations as well. Hmm. And not only is the day of Ashura virtuous to us as Muslims, rather it's also virtuous to previous nations as well. So we know that in the story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used to fast the day of Ashura, even prior to the Hijrah, even prior to migrating. And we know that even the Arabs, the Quraysh, they used to also fast the day of Ashura even prior to the migration of the Prophet and their acceptance of Islam, of course, right? This is something that's recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari, the most authentic book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the Prophet ﷺ moved to Medina, then Allah had given him another prescription, and that is to fast the month of Ramadan. So then at that point, also in authentic hadith, at that point, the companions and the Prophet ﷺ himself, everyone was told, don't worry about Ashura, go ahead and fast the month of Ramadan, because this is your obligation at this junction. But what happened next was the Prophet ﷺ met some of the Jews, and he noticed that they were fasting on this day. So he literally asked them, as found in Sahih Ibn Hibban, he literally said, "Ma hadha? What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" Because he was shocked that they used to do this during
Ramadan,
during the pre-Islamic periods.
Mm-hmm.
And the Prophet knew the pagan Arabs of Mecca, the Arabs who associated partners with Allah at that time. He knew that they used to do this as well. So how come Jews are doing it? They are the people of the book. They must have some other reason more than just paganism, of course, right? So he asked them this question, and then they told the Prophet ﷺ that this is the day in which Allah saved Musa alayhi salam from drowning, and this is the day in which Allah drowned Fir'aun. And because of that, Musa fasted, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ said, we are more worthy of Musa than you. So then he fasted also on the day of Ashura, and he told everybody to fast as well. Now, towards the end of his life, what happened is, one of the companions, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that, O Prophet of Allah, the Jews and the Christians, they all, you know, are very, very keen on fasting on this day, and they're very keen on revering this day. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to be a little bit distinct. So he said, if I live to see the next year, then I'll also fast on the ninth. لَأَصُومَنَّ التَّاسِعَ. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said this, but he died. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of that, he wasn't able to live.
جہاں پہ شک آ گیا کہ وہ لوگ بھی رکھتے ہیں آپ نے بھی روزہ رکھتے ہیں انہوں نے کہا کہ میں جی اگلا سال ملا تو میں 9 اور 10 کا روزہ رکھوں گا یا 10 یا 11 کا روزہ رکھوں گا rather than one, I'll fast twice, 2 days. Anything else?
So this is all that I wanted to share in regards to the day of Ashura. And
Sahar Ashura ka ye Allah ka shahar hai, Allah ka mahina isko Allah ne farmaya, Muharram ka mahina, aur Nabi ke nawason ka visal shahadat bhi isi mahine ke beech mein hui. Zahir hai, being a Musliman, hum us cheez ko zyada zehen mein rakhte hain ki Ashura ka din, shahadat ka din, 10 Muharram hai. یقیناً 770 کے اوپر بھی ہماری کوشش یہی ہے کہ میں نبی اکریم صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم کی زندگی کے بارے میں کبھی سوچتی ہوں بیونڈ اینی تھنگ ایلس. میں سوچتی ہوں کہ مجھے میرا بیٹا کتنا اچھا لگتا ہے. آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم کو 2 بار اللہ نے نرینہ اولاد دی اور آپ سے لے لی, کیونکہ ہمارے ہاں نسلیں بیٹوں سے چلتی ہیں, مگر اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ کی ہر کام میں مصلحت تھی. اللہ کو یہ ثابت کرنا تھا کہ آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم کے نام لیوا قیامت تک اس دنیا میں رہیں گے, تو یہ نہیں کہ آپ کی نسل آپ کے بیٹے سے چلے گی. اس میں میرے اللہ کی مصلحت تھی. آپ کی چہیتی بیٹی, جن کو خاتون جنت کہا جاتا ہے, حضرت فاطمہ تو زہرا ان کی اوکوک سے یہ بیٹے ہوتے ہیں, اور آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم نے اپنی زندگی کے 6 سال تک ان بچوں کے ساتھ وقت گزارا. اگین اٹس اے کوشچن مارک فار آل آر مساجد اینڈ فار ایوری بڈی آف مائی ایج اینڈ ایلڈر ٹو می, سے 55 سال سے اوپر کے ہر بندے سے میرا سوال ہے کہ آج مسجدوں میں جب بچے دوڑتے ہیں تو ہم نے جنہوں نے ساری زندگی میں گھٹا کھایا ہے, ہم کہتے ہیں یہ بچوں کا مسجد میں داخلہ بند کرا دیں, بچے شور بہت کرتے ہیں. اگر بچے اس ماحول میں نہیں رہیں گے تو بچے اس کو لرن کیسے کریں گے؟ آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم کی زندگی کی طرف اگر میں بڑھتی ہوں, آئی ڈونٹ نو میں نے غلط پڑھا کہ صحیح پڑھا, کہ آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم کے نواسے جب آپ سجدے پہ ہوتے تھے تو آپ کی کمر پہ سوار ہو جاتے تھے تو آپ اپنا سجدہ لمبا کر لیتے تھے. ایم آئی رائٹ اور رانگ؟ ڈو یو نو اباؤٹ دس اور ناٹ؟ بھائی بھائی میں غلط تو نہیں کہہ رہی کہ آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ, اب وہ تو بچے تھے کہ وہ بچے بھاگتے کودتے آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم کی کمر پہ اگر سجدے کی حالت میں سوار ہو جاتے تھے تو آپ اس نے سجدے کو لمبا کھینچ لیا کرتے ہوتے تھے. تو یہ سوال ہے میرے لیے, میری عمر کے تمام مرد اور عورتوں کے لیے جو یہاں کی مساجد میں جاتے ہیں اور وہ کہتے ہیں ان بچوں کا داخلہ بند کرائیں جی, یہ شور بڑا کرتے ہیں, عبادت کی طرف ہمیں راغب نہیں ہونے دیتے. اللہ میرے شیطان کو مارے, اللہ تعالیٰ مجھے اس قابل کرے کہ ولا حول ولا قوت الا باللہ العلی العظیم, کوئی اور طاقت نہ رہے میرے سامنے سوائے اللہ کی طاقت کے. یس بیٹا جینی, آپ آئی واز ٹاکنگ ٹو یو اینڈ آئی واز ٹولڈ دیٹ یو ہیو ڈن بیچلر آف ایجوکیشن ان فقہ اینڈ اصول الفقہ. واٹ از فقہ؟
سو فقہ از بیسیکلی another word for Islamic law. Fiqh and usul al-fiqh together, they comprise Islamic law, because usul al-fiqh are the foundations based on which we derive rulings within Islam, and then fiqh are those rulings. So when someone says to you, this is halal and this is haram, that's studied in the science of fiqh. And then when someone goes behind the scenes and they actually try to figure out why this is halal and why this is haram, that is the science of usul al-fiqh. So my undergrad is actually in fiqh and usul al-fiqh. It's in Islamic studies in general, but my major is in fiqh and usul al-fiqh.
Yani fiqh ke usul, law, qawaneen aur zawabit, and all these fiqh are mentioned in Quran. So you have gone through the elaborations though.
Yeah, of course. So fiqh, there's many different places that you deduce fiqh from, okay? But there are four primary places that we go to when we're trying to deduce law, Islamic law. So they can be summarized, as a poet says, أُصُولُنَا الْقُرْآنُ ثُمَّ السُنَّةِ وَبَعْدَهَا الْإِجْمَاعُ فَاسْمَعْ أَنَّهُ وَبَعْدَهُ مَا صَحَّ مِنْ قِيَاسِ أَحْكَامُنَا قَامَتْ بِذِي الْقِسْطَاسِ. That our foundations are the Qur'an, they happen to be the sunnah, and then after that they happen to be the consensus, meaning scholarly agreements. Everybody agrees, all of the scholars agree on this, so there's no way that all of those scholars could have made a mistake, meaning everybody misread the Qur'an, couldn't have happened. Everybody misread the sunnah, couldn't have happened. So that's why scholarly agreement is very important as well. And last but not least, the analogy. Okay, so it's haram to drink alcohol, we know that for sure. But where is the proof that marijuana is haram as well? Okay, the proof for that is that it's similar to alcohol in that it also intoxicates. That's the proof for that. So this is how qiyas is used. This is how analogical
reasoning. Asulul, that is asul.
That is qiyas. All of these are usul. The okay. Quran, the sunnah, the ijma.
Abdul Wahab Salim, a Canadian scholar, but I think so. We the Canadians are hum mehroom hai inki maujoodgi mein, because he is not here in Canada. He is in Malaysia, I believe so. Is that right?
Yeah, up until recently, up until COVID time, and then I came here due to the circumstances, yeah.
But you will go back to Malaysia?
There's a possibility. Things could go either way at this point, yeah.
Okay, not a problem. And we definitely look forward to people like yourself being here. And our youth need you, because youth want to correspond or talk to the young people like yourself. You are more aware of the tools, so I think our youth need you more than anything else. I wish you can stay here in Canada. Fiqh ki jab hum baat karte hain to beta jani, living in Canada, once we come here, yahan ka qawaneen aur zawabit jo hain wo hame ye kehte hain ki aap apni will banao. قرآن میں بھی ول کا ذکر ہے, مگر اگین most of us دے ریڈ قرآن ان عربک, دے ڈونٹ لائک ٹو انڈرسٹینڈ. حالانکہ اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ نے قرآن میں یہ فرمایا ہے کہ جب تم ہو تو لکھ لیا کرو اور ایک گواہ بھی بنا لیا کرو. تھوڑا سا آئی نیڈ ٹو نو اباؤٹ وائی اٹ از امپورٹنٹ ٹو ہیو ول اینڈ آر کمیونٹی اینڈ آر پیپل, اسپیشلی ان کینیڈا وی آر فار گیٹنگ دیز ولس ٹو بی ڈن. یس,
So there is an importance definitely when it comes to a will. When you talk about fiqh and usul al-fiqh, there is a complete chapter within the books of fiqh which is related to will. Okay, so towards the end of the books of Islamic law, there is a complete chapter dedicated to the laws of how to do a will and so forth. So the laws over here, they encourage you to write your will. And so does Islam as well. Islam also encourages you to write your will. But there's one thing one caveat that you have to keep in mind. And that is that the Prophet ﷺ, he said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعْطَى كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ فَلَا وَصِيَّةَ لِوَارِثٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every person who had any right when it comes to inheritance, He's given those rights already in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa. Okay, Allah has already given all those rights. فَلَا وَصِيَّةَ لِوَارِثٍ. Thus, there is no more will that you can give to a person who's already given a prescribed inheritance. So there's a prescribed inheritance for the wife, she can't be given a will. There's a prescribed inheritance for the husband, he can't be given a will. There's a prescribed inheritance for the child in some circumstances, depending on all the circumstances, it changes for different people. But the child, the father, the daughter, and so forth, there's some prescribed inheritance amounts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed in the Quran. So you go by that, and you can't add to that, okay? That's number one. The second very important thing is that the way a person could write a will potentially in Canada is that they could actually encourage that their estate is divided based on a certain system, and that is the Islamic system. Now, there's actually forms that you can fill out quite easily, offered in many masajid. You can go to the masjid and ask them for help on this, and they will give you a form where you can fill out this form and ensure that your estate is divided based on the Islamic principles, okay? That's something that every Muslim, I think, that has a large sum of money and wants to ensure that his children get their share from the inheritance in an equitable and Islamic way, that's something I encourage that everyone should do.
तो बिल्कुल साहब आप इस चीज को देख लीजिएगा but I have a question okay. you know what मैं वो but वाला you know I have but ifs and buts everywhere okay. for example even though if I you know what most of the non-Muslims especially they have an objection you know what in Islam they do not respect women that much so woman has one chair man has double chair I defend it Because when I was married, my parents, they gave me enough thing. And of course, my husband got things from his parents. So I got three shares. At the end of the day, everybody gets three. Husband get double from the parents. Wife brings one part from... But people have objection. They you know, when you have to say something negative about something, they say that in Muslims, the women are not given right, and they are given one share, and the men are given double share. Any elaboration?
So there's a number of things to elaborate here, and it's a very good question, and I really do appreciate that you brought up this but. Okay, so the first thing is that just as women do get slightly less in some circumstances. This is very important, by the way, to highlight some circumstances, okay? So, in all circumstances, men have to be the providers. This is something that is unanimously agreed upon among every Muslim scholar that ever lived, right? That after marriage, the primary provider and the breadwinner happens to be the husband. So what wrong did the husband do to deserve this sort of treatment? If we're going to say that, oh, perhaps the woman is being neglected over here, what about the man here? Miskeen, subhanAllah.
Works for Don't say this. Don't say miskeen man in front of me. But you are right, absolutely right. And Quran is, and I always say, and I always defended it, that if Quran says two shares for the man and one share for the woman, there is a maslahat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's maslahat in this. And I remember I asked you, a scholar as well, and he said, if a woman earns, she can keep her money, but the actual provider is man of the house.
For sure. Yeah.
This is a Canadian system. Hum aadmi keh deta hai ki BVB. I always say, ki, you know, mere husband ne paise kaha leke jane, usi ghar ke liye. बीवी के पैसे भी उसी घर के लिए हैं सो ऑल द मनी इज एट द सेम प्लेस सो आई यूज टू गिव एवरीथिंग टू मुजफ्फर सो दैट्स व्हाट इट इज बट कुरान में अल्लाह तबारक व तआला ने एज दिस स्कॉलर टोल्ड मी दैट द होल रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी इज मैन्स रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी तो अगर शेयर भी डबल मिल रहा तो फिर आपको क्या एतराज है
दैट्स जस्ट वन पार्ट ऑफ द डिस्कशन द अदर पार्ट इज दैट It isn't true that the woman gets half a share in every circumstance. There's at least five circumstances within the Islamic inheritance law where the woman actually gets more than the man as well. So that principle in which Allah says لِلذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ that a male should be giving, he should be granted twice as much as the female, that's a very limited circumstance, meaning it's a few circumstances, but there are other circumstances in which women also get more as well. So what people that want to have something negative to say about Islam are doing by taking this verse and just stripping it out and saying that, look, the inheritance law in totality gives the man more than the woman, this is untrue.
No, but these are the people who just who are the fault finders.
Yeah.
But I know people who read Quran, studied Quran, although they are not Muslims. They say that this is a complete book, a book of law. Anyways, now the last thing what I would like to talk about is you are founder of Salik Academy. What is Salik Academy?
So Salik Academy is a platform that I founded in 2011. And it's a platform dedicated to producing content on traditional Islamic knowledge. And alhamdulillah, if you were to log on online on YouTube and search Salik Academy or my name, you'd find maybe around 200 odd lectures on different topics on Islamic sciences that are conducted all around the world. So Salik Academy is a platform to provide opportunity for people to learn the Quran, the Sunnah, the different Islamic sciences. There is a tafsir of the Quran that we're conducting as well. 15% of it happens to be completed, alhamdulillah. So they
Angrezi mein ki Urdu mein?
English.
What is the problem with us? Urdu mein samajhte hain, I don't know Angrezi.
I can understand Urdu,
so
I can also speak it as well, but not...
You want to address the world, you do not want to address people like me.
No, you, mashallah, understand English better than myself.
So, Salik Academy, if you go to Salik Academy, there are also lectures from Quran and all the science, Islamic science. What is Islamic science?
So, the word science today has become very, very codified to empirical testing of things. Earlier on, when we look at the etymology of the term science, it was used to refer to any type of art that would be studied, that had principles and so on and so forth. So when we say Islamic sciences, we're not talking about scientific Islam, we're talking about just Islamic domains and subjects.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's what that means.
Aapne ye bhi sahi kaha, magar agar main Quran Pak ka hawala deti hun, to Quran Pak mein, of course, science ko aapne bade lafzon ke beech mein maine aur aapne zikr karna shuru kar diya, magar Quran mein zameen ke center ke bare mein, core ke bare mein zikr hai. Aaj jis gravitational pull ki hum baat karte hain, Quran Pak mein zameen ki core ke beech mein dhaton ka zikr hai. All metals are there. Is that right or no?
Yes, yeah, so the Quran does definitely speak about the tectonic plates. It speaks also about the gravitational forces. It speaks about many different scientific phenomena as well. And that's one of the aspects of the miracles of the Quran. And if you allow me to say something here, which I think is very important, and that is that there's actually a group of people today that after the discovery and after the presentation of the scientific miracle of the Quran became very prevalent, there's a group of people who have now come and said there is no such thing as the scientific miracle of the Quran. The Quran is not a book of science. We admit the Quran is not a book of science, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this an ever-living miracle. So in our times, people are fond of science in a way that they've never been fond in human history, perhaps. People are fond of empirical testing in a way that perhaps human history never had it in this way. So because of that, and because of the fact that the Quran is an ever-living miracle, Allah allowed those verses to contain isharat, okay, signals through which we can recognize that Allah is referring to a scientific domain, or Allah is referring to a scientific discovery within this verse. And the fact that he's making reference to this 1400 years ago, and we only discovered it just 10 years ago or 15
years ago, I
agree,
I'll go
there, is quite miraculous in my opinion.
I'll just stop you here. I'll stop you for there. You said that Quran is a book of law, it is not science, but I think it has science. One of the surah which we all go through every day, jaise maine ye Quran Pak ka ek, I don't exactly remember, it's marked in my Quran, jisme Quran ki core ka zikr hai aur dhaton ka zikr hai, nizam-e-shamsi ka zikr hai, of course the jahanon ka zikr iske beech mein hai,
kahin na kahin
planets ka zikr hai. Quran mein surah Yasin ki ayat hai, awalam yaral insanu anna khalaqnahu min nutfati fahiza huwa khasim, yani humne usko nutfe se paida kiya. So there is a science in it.
Definitely.
आज अगर साइंस ने प्रूव कर दिया कि वन फीटस इज क्रिएटेड बिटवीन स्पर्म एंड एन एग, तो नुतफा वही हुआ ना. तो कुरान ने 1400 साल पहले नुतफे का जिक्र किया.
आई एग्री कंप्लीटली एंड होल हार्टेडली.
बादलों का, इसका हर एक.
तो व्हाट इज दिस? इज इट साइंस?
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that there are people that contest the claim that you're making.
Oh, there are people.
Yeah.
So
I personally don't believe that this is a contestable claim. I believe that the Quran
has... It's a book of law. It has, you know, it has addressed everything. It has addressed science as well. Now, this is us, we the human being. Allah ne kaha ke Quran ko samjho and explore.
Yeah.
Is that right?
For sure.
Okay. Salik Academy आपकी academy है, and I thank you very much for. I know you must be thinking she's very unpredictable. Did you think that?
No. I actually, what I did is, once you sent me the links to your channel, I watched a few of the shows to know.
You knew she's bad.
How to predict you? So nothing you've done as of yet has
so
been
I was
unpredictable.
Prepared for it.
Yeah, I was prepared.
Oh my god! Oh my god! But beta jani.
No.
वो कहते हैं ना कि इल्म हासिल करने की उसकी प्यास है. एक बात, वन थिंग बट आई वुड से, आई थिंक इन एवरी रिलीजन टीचेस द राइट थिंग. दीज आर द ह्यूमन बीइंग्स हु मेस अप. और आजकल तो हमने हर चीज़ को, ये जो सोशल मीडिया आपका आ गया है ना, इट हैज़ मेस्ड अप एवरीथिंग एवरीथिंग. सो व्हाइल आई वाज टॉकिंग टू यू, आई वाज लुकिंग एट यू एंड आई वाज थिंकिंग, माशाल्लाह किसी का बेटा है. हाउ मच यू लव योर मम्मा?
How much do I love my mom? Okay. It's hard to describe how much I love my mom and how much she's means to me. It's enough to say that every time I think of the fact that, think of life without my mom, I start to go into tears.
I love you, beta.
Uncontrollably.
I love you, bacha. Allah tumhe zindagi de. You're my pride. You're my pride. And I wish and I please request you. This is a wonderful man. Dekhiye saab. देखिए पूरी इनकी बायो को देखिएगा. एंड आई विश शी कैन बी पार्ट एंड पार्सल टू आवर रेडियो एंड टेलीविजन टिल यू आर हियर.
इंशाल्लाह दैट वुड बी माय ऑनर एंड आई वुड बी.
थैंक यू एंड प्लीज डू टीच अस अबाउट कुरान. डू टीच अस अबाउट कुरान. वील पिक अप वन सूरा वेयर अल्लाह हैज टॉट हाउ माय बिहेवियर शुड बी. एंड आई विश यू कैन टीच ओनली सूरा हिजरात, जिसमें हम गीबत करते हैं, चुगली करते हैं. अल्लाह कहता है गुमान ना करो. हम कहते हैं हाँ देखा शाजिया बार चुप करके बैठी हुई है, ज़रूर मेरे बारे में कुछ साजिश कर रही होगी. एंड आर लाइफ इज़ ऑल सराउंडिंग एंड रिवॉल्विंग अराउंड दीज गुमान्स. आई थैंक यू वेरी मच एंड आई थैंक योर बाबा.
जज़ाकअल्लाह खैर. थैंक यू. अल्लाह ब्लेस यू इंशाल्लाह.
Abdul Wahab Saleem, a Canadian Islamic scholar, mashallah, Saudi Arabia, King Saud University se padha, Malaya University se padha, aap apna doctorate ko mukammal kar rahe hain. I wish all the best. And
we
I
will definitely talk about Islamic banking one day.
Inshallah.
Islamic banking, and we'll also talk about insurance as well.
Of course, insurance, Islamic banking. I mean, this is one of the subjects that I taught for about 9 years at university. So yeah. Islamic banking and insurance... is one of those subjects that I really take pride in, the fact that Allah has blessed me to contribute with it.
एक सवाल जाते जाते उस ज़माने में भी तिजारत के लिए लोग जाया करते होते थे, ताजर जाया करते होते थे. And I remember, मैंने I read it somewhere के उस ज़माने में कज़ाक जो डेजर्ट के डाकू होते थे वो भी इनको मिला करते होते थे. तो they used to pool money ताकि अगर कोई ऐसा नुकसान हो तो वो उसको शेयर. Yes. Is it something like that?
That's true. I'm surprised you know this information because it's very rarely mentioned. But
yes,
a very rare piece of information.
ये आप सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम के ज़माने में जब तिजारती काफ़ले जाया करते थे. Can you please explain it? Because हम इतने stubborn हैं कि हमने एक चीज़ को रोक दिया, और जब यहाँ कनाडा में रहते हुए किसी को कुछ हो जाता है तो हम brother, sister, everybody loves each other, but unfortunately everybody is in their own vicious life circle. They cannot help somebody. So kya tha wo? I read it and I know I have gone through it in detail about it.
Definitely. It's actually the basis when the philosophers of Islamic insurance speak about, and they try to philosophize the idea of insurance within the Islamic domain, this is one of the stories that they mentioned, and it is an authentically reported story that some of the Sahaba, they were out on an expedition or on a travel, etc. So everybody had their resources, so what they did is they pooled the resources together. And then after pooling these resources together, now obviously as a group of people, as a small community, they are more resilient to risk. Because one person has more money, another person has less money, and everything came together, and now they're more resilient to risk, which is very similar to the concept of insurance.
Concept. It was not exactly same, but it is the same concept.
Yeah, definitely.
I thank you very much, Abdul Wahab, Salim, Arpright, and inshallah, look forward to seeing you again.
Jazakallah khair, auntie.
Mera beta, thank you. Please remember us in your prayers. Aur Majid bhai ke liye dua karna ki unko jhoot bolne se baaz aa jaye. Lion larceny.
Isliye main khamosh rehta hu. Kaisa na ho ki mujh se jhoot nikal jaye. Better Huzurak Musa said the same thing. Better be quiet, right?
Yeah, sahih. Man samata faqad najah. Whoever stays quiet, then that person is saved, as the Prophet ﷺ said.
See?
Majid bhai is a wonderful man. It's just a joke, and I love him very much. He's a wonderful brother. He's my support. He's a wonderful man. But anyways, I thank Janab Abdul Wahab Salim. I thank your Baba. And we'll take top of the hours.
The fastest 4K IP box in Canada with 5G latest technology. More than